Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the There Is No Quit Mindset podcast. This episode is all about Veterans Day and kind of a different twist on it. As those of you who don't know, I'm a veteran. I was very fortunate to be able to serve in 1st Ranger Battalion during my time in service. My brother was also a Ranger, and obviously all the people I served with were veterans as well, and they became part of my extended family. And I think something that gets to me on a regular basis, and I think it gets other veteran friends of mine and other people I talk to, the phrase, thank you for your service. And it's a nice gesture when people that have never enlisted say thank you for your service. But it's unfortunate that there's a lot of stuff going on in the United States and a lot of people with their actions every day that don't really demonstrate gratitude to the people who are willing to sign a piece of paper and become a piece of government property for years. So the phrase, thank you for your service, has become kind of empty in my eyes because it's not backed up by actions. So I've gathered some information I'll talk about and share a little bit more perspective on Veterans Day, my perception of it, of how I think people act in the United States in relation to it. And I'm doing this in an effort to help you reflect a little more on your part in a society is drip, like soaking wet with freedom as the United States is. We have so much that the majority of us take so much of it for granted that, you know, thanking people for their service is one thing, but to actually demonstrate gratitude for service and the freedoms we have and the luxuries we have in the United States is a whole nother thing. And I think one way to demonstrate gratitude is through positive thoughts, positive words, positive action. And although you do and I do, we see it on a regular basis, there's a lot of times where that's not being done by people. They take the little things for granted. And so I'm going to talk about that and share some information with you that you might not know. And I hope you enjoy this episode. It's a bit more educational than some of this stuff. Once again, I'm your host, Joshua Baumgarten, and I appreciate you listening. And if you like the There Is No Quit Mindset podcast, please go ahead and leave a rating or a review. Follow at There Is No Quit Mindset on Instagram and Facebook, and follow me at Jushman on Instagram. And feel free to share this with anyone that you think it might help, because this episode is a bit more important to me than some of the other ones. I appreciate you. So today's Veterans Day, and I think a lot of people in the United States, especially younger people, kind of look at it as, oh, great, I got a day off. I don't really give a shit what it means. I'm just really happy to have a day off. And it's unfortunate that, you know, as a society, as a culture, we don't do a good enough job as parents and teachers and members of the community, as friends, helping provide perspective to each other when it comes to things like, what is a veteran, or why does Veterans Day exist? Why the fuck have we been at war for, I don't know, 17 years now? It's crazy to think about. There's so many people alive today that were born right after we got into these wars in the Middle East, and they still haven't seen the end of them. And an even worse part is a lot of people don't even think we still have troops deployed. And yet the majority of the American populace goes around saying, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. And they say this to veterans as if they actually mean it, or as if their words carry any weight. But the reality of it is the majority of the time it's just lip service. Or maybe someone actually thinks that they appreciate someone's military service, but they do very little to demonstrate that gratitude in terms of their day-to-day life. And I've got some information I'm going to share that might shed some light on it, kind of force all of us to to think about the roles we play when it comes to demonstrating gratitude in general, and help us reflect on Veterans Day as something more than just an excuse for a day off. So in case you didn't know, Veterans Day originated as Armistice Day on November 11th, 1919. It was the first anniversary of the end of World War I. Congress then passed a resolution in 1926 for an annual observance, and November 11th became a national holiday beginning in 1938. Unlike Memorial Day, Veterans Day pays tribute to all American veterans, living or dead, but especially gives thanks to living veterans who served their country honorably during war or peacetime, which is an amazing thing. I think a lot of people don't understand that when you enlist, you pretty much become a piece of government property. And yes, you get paid for your work. And yes, there's all kinds of cool benefits that come with being enlisted, especially for those of us when we get out who choose to take advantage of the GI Bill. It's a really great thing. It's helping me live my life. But there's also a lot of veterans that don't take advantage of it because there's a lot of issues that veterans go through when they get out, and some of them even while they're in, because it's a pretty big life-changing thing. I found an article on the U.S. Naval Institute website written by a retired naval captain named John Byron, and he talked about some really good points. If your kids or grandkids are 16 years old or younger, they live in a nation that has been at war continuously since they were born. That is insane. If someone entered the U.S. military in 2001, their branch of service has had some role in the bloody chaos of combat since they left basic training. And you probably knew a few. There's a good chance that some of us knew a few of the 6,800 Americans who have died in war since the beginning of this current war. A lot of people don't think about it, but as an American taxpayer, we've essentially been borrowing from the future to run up a war bill that is currently at an estimated $4.8 trillion. $4.8 trillion is fucking crazy. It's crazy to think about how much money has been spent on these wars that are, what are they accomplishing? There's injustice all over the world. To use what was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan as an excuse to halt injustice is, it's kind of a ruse, in my opinion. I think there's a lot of stuff that the majority of us don't think about when it comes to controlling oil and opiates in an effort to fuel the economy of the United States in certain ways. And maybe that's kind of a conspiracy theory, but when you look at all the injustices all over the world, because there's crazy shit going on in Southeast Asia, and we're not invading any countries there. There's all kinds of stuff going on in Africa, South America, Central America, and we don't seem to want to send troops any of those places. Is it because we're stretched too thin in the Middle East, but we as a nation still want to stop these injustices? Or is it because we don't stand to gain quite as much financially from deploying young men and women into these areas? So that's a lot of stuff to think about when we've racked up, like I said, a war bill of $4.8 trillion. If you add interest payments on this war debt, then we should touch about $8 trillion by 2050. Which sounds fantastic. If someone lives in Iraq or Afghanistan, they've seen more than 370,000 of their countrymen killed in direct violence and another 800,000 dead from the indirect effects of war since 2001. Now, we as Americans are so far removed from these conflicts, it's tough to understand what it's like to know that hundreds of thousands of your fellow countrymen are dying because a foreign government has sent their military into your nation to stabilize things, if that makes sense. And it's not the most stable thing to just have, 800,000 people die since 2001 as a result of the indirect effects of war. That's wild. When it comes to our military and the way it is now, this, I'm still referencing the article written by retired Naval Captain John Byron, and it's published on the U.S. Naval Institute website, so you can go check it out if you want. In 1973, we decided to end the draft after Vietnam and rely exclusively on volunteers for our military. Not a huge change for the Air Force, Navy, or Marine Corps, because they generally relied on volunteers for the most part. But for the Army, it was a big change. The Army in the past always had a professional cadre that was augmented by draftees to give it the size and connection to do the will of the people needed to fight in its wars. But things shifted, so it's been all volunteers, and I'll talk about how many volunteers we currently have in the military in a second. But I think something to really roll around in your head throughout you listening to this episode is how did we get into this sad state where, as a nation, we still continue to place elected officials in office that don't seem that interested in getting us out of these seemingly never-ending wars and creating more and more veterans of war all the time. It's crazy. And referencing how we as a nation continue to elect officials that perpetuate this cycle of war and more war is there's some stuff that I looked up on a website called Fair Vote for some information, just to make sure what I put out there is relatively accurate. And I think anyone listening to this knows that voter turnout in the United States is pathetic. I think as someone that's been to a country where they don't have the opportunity to vote, it is mind-blowing that in the United States, most people don't care enough to go cast a vote. Sometimes when people do vote, they don't cast an informed vote, which is why we're still, married to the two-party system that we currently have, where both the left and the right, or the Democrats and the Republicans, have some glaring deficiencies. And I think the largest deficiency is that they mirror each other in so many ways, and they've been so polarizing, especially over the last several years, in an effort to generate emotional responses from the voting populace, because people take greater action when there's an emotional trigger than they do when you speak to them logically. So both sides start to polarize, and you divide up the American people in a way that they don't vote in their best interest at times. And we don't make the time to educate ourselves on who we're voting for, because we get so wrapped up in the 9-to-5, or people buy into this bullshit like our vote doesn't matter. There's no point in voting. It's going to be the same all the time. That's exactly the kind of bullshit that keeps things the same. And as a veteran and someone that is a family member and friends with people that deployed more than I did and saw worse things than I did and experienced way crazier stuff than I did, and I know people that fought wars in previous generations, it's really disturbing the amount of apathy the American people have when it comes to the opportunity to vote. And one thing that it talks about on the website, Fair Vote, and I pulled this, put it in my notes for this episode because I like the way it was written so much. Robust voter turnout is fundamental to a healthy democracy, as low turnout is usually attributed to political disengagement and the belief that voting for one candidate or party or another will do little to alter public policy. Established democracies tend to have higher turnout than other countries. However, voter turnout in the U.S. is much lower than most established democracies. That's crazy. That's crazy. Voter turnout in the United States fluctuates in national elections. In recent national elections, about 60% of the voting eligible population votes during presidential election years, and only about 40% votes during midterm elections. How fucking pathetic are we that so many people care so little about having the opportunity to vote, because so many have been willing to serve and put their lives on the line for so long? Thank you for your service, but I don't care enough as a member of the United States, a civilian, I don't care enough to do my civic duty and cast an informed vote. Cool. Thank you for your service, veterans, but I don't actually give a shit. I just say it because it seems like the right thing to say. super duper. Have a good one. Most of you don't care. If you're listening to this right now and some of the stuff I'm saying is getting to you and you're like, but Josh, I care. I swear. Cool. That's fine. Then I'm not talking to you. But what I am making an effort to do is highlight some serious issues that we have in the United States, or at least they're serious in my eyes based on my life experience. And maybe I wouldn't care had I never served. Maybe I wouldn't care had my dad not served, had my brother not served, and had I not known so many people that have served and known people that lost their lives or were seriously injured in these wars. Maybe I would care less. But I do care, and that's why I'm making this episode. Currently, the United States has a standing military of about 2.2 million men and women. It's the active duty is about 1.29 million, and the rest are reservists. So that 1.29 million that are currently enlisted, this is stuff I found on Pew Research. It is less than 0.5% of the U.S. population. So that's pretty wild how few people actually want to enlist to serve their country. And I understand it's as a result of the limitless options that we have in this culture. But what's weird is that there's a lot of people that are crippled with student loan debt. And maybe you're not aware of the fact that the government will help take care of that student loan debt if you enlist. Not all military jobs in any branch are combat jobs. So people think there's no way out from underneath their debt. There's always a way out. People that think they can't afford to go to school, well, if you enlist and you serve your country, you can go to school and the government will pay for it. It's pretty phenomenal. There are some really good benefits, but most people in the United States think it's beneath them or that they're too good for it or that they could never do it. And the reality of the situation is enlisting is a choice. Being part of something bigger than yourself is a choice. And you do it all the time on a day-to-day basis. You're part of your family, you're part of your group of friends, or you're part of the workforce at your job. You're always a part of something bigger than yourself. But not all these things that you're a part of that are bigger than you are things that you're consciously aware of. And maybe these things don't help you move forward in life in the way that enlisting might. And this isn't a recruiting pitch because I think that would be silly. I just know for me, enlisting was probably the best decision I ever made in my life. And I wasn't someone that always had a strong work ethic. I wasn't someone that always wanted to enlist, but I got sick of seeing my brother go to war all the time. And I just didn't want to sit on my hands anymore and do nothing. That was a large motivator when I enlisted. But like I was saying, it's crazy to think what the voter turnout is in the United States and how few people enlist or care to enlist. And it's just a sad reflection on us as a culture when so many people are willing to say thank you for your service, but not actually care. So let me continue with this kind of extended rant that's being recorded. The U.S. population currently is a little over 327 million people. So 327,615,129 is a number I found on a population tracking website. So let's ballpark it. Let's say like plus or minus 1 or 2 million. So let's say anywhere between 325 million and 329 people in the U.S. right now. And like I said, just under 1.29 million active duty. As of 2016, according to the Department of Veterans Affairs, there are around 20.4 million U.S. veterans in 2016, representing less than 10% of the total U.S. adult population. That's an interesting thing. I think more people could benefit from serving in the military. I definitely think we as a culture could benefit from actually demonstrating our gratitude for those in service beyond the whole thank you for your service thing. And one of the things I wanted to make sure that as I went on talking about the lack of actual gratitude in reference to thank you for your service, that I wanted to make sure I backed it up with some objective information. So I went on a website called Charity Navigator, where you can find all kinds of information about any type of charity. There's all kinds of research that goes into this stuff. When I used to own High Road and we would figure what charity we were going to donate to every month, we'd look on Charity Navigator to make sure it was a reputable charity. So I simply wanted to find out how much money gets donated annually to military-related charities, of which there's over 40,000, which is cool. And one cool thing, people donate more than $2.5 billion annually amongst these 40,000 American charities that are military-related. That's a lot of money. $2.5 billion is a lot of money. And it's way better than zero, obviously. And it's way better than anything under $2.5 billion. And you see a lot of flag-waving patriots out there on both sides of the political spectrum. We love our veterans, and we care about our veterans and all this and that, right? Let me break this down for you a little further. It's $2.5 billion annually sounds like a fantastic number. Until you understand that that $2.5 billion annually is an average donation of $7.65 per person. Yeah, I'll say that again. $7.65 per person in the United States gets donated to veteran charities annually. Which means this number would almost double if each person donated $1 a month to veteran-related charities. And the reason I talk about veteran-related charities so much is because there's so many unemployed veterans right now because we've been in a perpetual state of war. Not to mention the fact that roughly 20 veterans a day are committing suicide. This number comes from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Office of Suicide Prevention. It's suicide-related, and drug overdoses are a big part of it. So an average of 20 veterans a day committed suicide in 2014. So while the majority of the American population is busy saying thank you for your service, most people aren't backing it up with their actions because a lot of people don't make an effort to connect or listen to veterans when they're asking for help. And I think that's a really sad thing in our society, is that the majority of us, and myself included at times, are so selfish and self-absorbed in our own lives that we don't do a good job helping others. And you know, think of the veterans you know, whether they deployed or not, they had an experience that's pretty unique when you understand that less than 1% of the U.S. population served. And a lot of us, myself included, and other veterans I've talked to, had a lot of trouble opening up or connecting with people or understanding or creating a role for ourselves in the civilian world. Once we got out, there's not a lot of systems in place to kind of help us transition with greater ease, which is why you have something like 20 veterans a day committing suicide. Another part of this information block from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Office of Suicide Prevention, in fact, 18% of all American adult suicides in 2014 were committed by veterans, even though veterans made up just 8.5% of the population. I know it's tough to understand what those percentages mean, but when a certain subsect of a population is only 8.5% of the population and they're committing 18% of the suicides in the overall scope of the population, that is outrageous. Male veterans had a 19% higher risk of suicide compared to the general population, while female veterans were 2.5 times as likely to kill themselves compared to the female civilian population. And suicide rates were highest among young veterans age 18 to 29. So if you're listening to this and you're over 29, think about your life experiences between the ages of 18 and 29 and understand that the majority of veterans that deploy were doing so in their late teens and early 20s and mid 20s. A little bit different than going to college and joining a frat and things of that nature. And the amount of help that we're providing for our veterans it's not enough. Thank you for your service is not enough. That's why I'm making this. Because I know most of us aren't going to make the time to sit there and research these things and go like, oh shit, like maybe we can do better. But I see everyone waving flags. We must be doing good. No, no, no. I support veterans. I don't want football players to kneel. Oh, no, no, no. I support veterans. I always take my hat off. First of all, I'll just throw a couple things out there while I went on that little tangent. For me, and there's going to be other veterans and other people that disagree with me, and I'm totally okay with that. I think one of the coolest things about the United States is that someone can take a knee in public during the national anthem and not get shot in the head or have their head chopped off. So when people are like, this is disrespectful to veterans, this is disrespectful to the flag, first of all, these people should ask themselves if every time they've ever watched a sport on TV, if they've stood up when the national anthem is playing. Because if not, then they're a hypocrite, which is a pretty common practice in the world today. We're all guilty of it at some point in time, but if you're going to stand up on your high horse and talk about what a piece of shit someone is for taking a knee while you're sitting in your recliner with a fucking beer, then you can eat shit. My personal opinion. And I think what people forget is our military, one of the purposes of our military, aside from being a pawn of the government and to push our political and financial agenda around the world, is that we defend this Constitution that allows for free speech and peaceful protest. And it's not, in my perception, disrespectful to the flag, which represents an idea. It's not disrespectful to members of the military. It's a peaceful protest. And if you listen to what any of these dudes say, they're protesting injustice in a system. And they're making an effort to use their platform as athletes to bring attention to it, which they have. And it's unfortunate that we live in a society where people are, they talk about wanting all these freedoms and loving America so much, but then when someone exercises their freedoms that they don't agree with, they're sending them death threats. And we have our dickhead president talking shit about them. As if this gentleman, I use that term very loosely in this context, had ever served a purpose greater than himself. Would have loved to seen what his enlistment might have looked like. Ah, man, it's just crazy to think that there's so many people that are so quote unquote patriotic that they want to piss on someone's right to peaceful protest because they don't agree with what they're kneeling or standing for. It blows my mind. So that's another instance where when someone like that says thank you for your service, it's in my head, it's like, oh cool, but do you actually appreciate the freedoms that we do have? And what the concept of what America possibly used to stand for or at one point stood for in the minds of more people is the freedom to take a fucking knee to protest something completely different. It's a trip. But I found some other cool information. I found an article written by a gentleman named Neil McCarthy. He's a data journalist writing for Forbes, and he pulled out some information on analysis conducted by the RAND Corporation, which sheds light on the scale of U.S. military deployments since 9/11. So I'll go over some of that information right now, and then I'll kind of get off my high horse a little, and you know, if you want, I would love to hear feedback about this episode because there most likely can be some dissenting opinions here. But we'll see. I don't really care either way. I just felt like I had to put this stuff out there. So since 2001, 2.77 million service members have served on 5.4 million deployments across the world, with soldiers from the Army accounting for the bulk of them. Deployed personnel were under 30 years old on average, and over half were married, and about half had children. In total, all services contributed 3.1 million troop years of experience, and 58% of those years can be attributed to the Army. According to RAND, 1.33 million individuals deployed with the Army between 2001 and 2015. That's including the Reserve and National Guard, along with 563,000 from the Navy, 518,000 from the Air Force, and 367,000 Marines. Considering the length of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, a substantial number of those serving across all services have gone on several deployments. Around 225,000 soldiers who served with the Army deployed at least three times or more. That's fucking nuts. Some Americans, particularly those in the special forces community, which is something I am familiar with. My brother deployed 10 times. I have other friends that I served with that deployed close to double digit number of times, and some even deeper into the double digits. And that's, special forces across all branches of the military. So what this is going to reference is Delta Force Master Sergeant Joshua Wheeler was the first U.S. soldier to die in combat against ISIS and the first American to lose his life in Iraq for 4 years. I think this was written, this article is from, I think, last year. 2015. So he died on a raid that freed 70 Iraqi prisoners from captivity in 2015. It emerged after his death that he was a veteran of 14 combat deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. So while we're here sitting on our asses, thanking people for their service and not doing a good job providing support for veterans' health care, at least mental health at a bare minimum, we're sitting back here and thank you for your service. I'm going to complain about traffic. Thank you for your service. I'm going to talk shit about someone with different political views and talk about how much I hate them and how much they should leave the country. Thank you for your service. I don't like the way the barista made my Frappuccino at Starbucks, so I'm going to shit on her. My point here being with that little tangent is that being shitty to other people is not an expression of gratitude for a standing military that protects on your right to be an asshole. So if you consistently view yourself as above other people because of your job or the car you drive or the school you go to or anything that you think makes you better than the people you interact with, that you believe gives you the right to talk down to people or insult their religion, the color of their skin, or any aspect of their lives which you feel as though you are in a superior position to judge, fuck you. Don't ever thank anybody for their service because you're an asshole. That's all there is to it. Because you do not express gratitude for people being willing to put their lives on the line by taking your life for granted and by taking the lives of others for granted, thinking that your life is better than theirs. Because you don't know anything about the lives of the people that you are shitting on with your words and your actions and probably your thoughts on a day-to-day basis. And one of the reasons I know that is because I've been thanked for my service by plenty of people that in my professional life have been so overtly disrespectful to me because they view themselves as superior, because in my profession, I wear a t-shirt and shorts to work. So while they're busy appreciating veterans, they're also ready to act as though they're superior to them in every way, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. I think we'd all be best served, myself included, to humble ourselves in the eyes of the universe and simply be cool to people, do our part to help make the world a better place, whether that's donating to charity or not is another thing, but I'm talking about making the world a better place by being cool to everybody and understanding that we know very, very little about the majority of people we interact with or about the situations going on in their lives behind the moments that we have with them. And maybe start expressing our gratitude to veterans by making it easier for them to exist in this country and doing our part to put government officials in place that don't want to keep sending young men and women overseas to fight in wars that don't need to happen. You can agree or disagree with that. That's fine. I don't need or want everyone to agree with me. What I want is for people to reflect on their role and their actions and their thoughts and their words on a day-to-day basis so that all of us, myself included, because I am not above my own criticism, we can all do better. Because we are pissing all over the veteran community on a day-to-day basis, more often than not. So the next time you want to thank someone for their service, think about what that means. Think about what their service means and think about what you can do to be a better part of the whole. Because it's going to take all of us working together to be better, to pull our heads out of our collective assholes and not only make this city that I live in, this state I live in, or this country that I live in a better place so that we can make the entire world a better place. But until we accept the fact that we are most likely just as much a part of the problem as everybody else, we can't get better because our sphere of influence is limited. We can control our thoughts, our words, and our actions, but we cannot demand of others what we are unwilling to do ourselves. So until we, as citizens of the United States of America, are holding ourselves to a higher standard of human behavior, regardless of social class, ethnicity, or religion, whatever, until we commit to being better people on a day-to-day basis, we're going to keep running into the same wall that we built for ourselves in the first place without even knowing we were doing it. So I know I spit a lot of information out there at you, and I hope I gave you some food for thought. I know I was thinking about everything the whole time I was recording this. So know this, although it is great to hear the term thank you for your service, there are a lot of us in the veteran community that view a lot of your words as hollow and empty. And that's not a fun feeling. So we can do better, myself included. Just know that I appreciate you, your life. I appreciate your time, your willingness to listen to this. If you think this would help anyone reflect on anything, go ahead and give it a share. Make sure to follow at There Is No Quit Mindset. Follow at Juiceman. Give this thing a rating or some feedback. Send me an email, joshua.baumgarten@gmail.com. Send me a message on Instagram. I'll be sure to respond. Send a message on Facebook. I'll get back to you. I want to hear your thoughts. So thank you. I look forward to working with you to making the entire world a better place, because that's what the whole There Is No Quit thing is all about. And that's why I'm recording this episode. So I appreciate you. I hope you have a great day or a great night. And most importantly, I hope you have a great life. I love you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.